Welcome to the Management Minute with Dr. Donita Brown, where we sit down with business leaders to gain valuable insights and advice on how to navigate the world of management. Whether you're a seasoned manager or just starting out, this podcast is for you. I'm Donita Brown, a professor in the College of Business at Lipscomb University. I'm also an author, speaker, and habit coach. For almost 20 years, I worked in corporate America and managed teams of 2 to 102. Welcome to this week's episode. Today's guest is Ace Timmermeyer. Ace, thank you so much for being here.
Good morning. It's a pleasure. It's really an honor, Donita, to be able to come and spend some time with you and learn from you and hear more about you. This is about you, right?
Oh, no, it is all about you. In fact, we are going to dig in with your one-sentence bio. And knowing the type of person you are, I'm anxious to hear how you have crafted your one-sentence bio.
Okay, my one-sentence bio. So it's really simple because leadership is pretty simple when you break it down. But I am a wife, mother, daughter, granddaughter, of course, who believes in the power of community. And that that word community is pretty broad and spanning. And every time I've written about myself or gone through a leadership development or tried to define who and what I am, that word community continuously comes up and is something that's very important to me. It's important. It's impactful. It's valuable. And it defines a lot of who and what I am and how I choose to do what I do, the path that I take. So that word community feels unnecessarily inserted, but definitely very intentional.
Love it. I love it when there is something that you can intentionally grab on to.
Absolutely.
All right. You ready for question number one?
I must be.
How do your values impact your management philosophy?
So I went to Lipscomb and spent a lot of time on this campus, spent a lot of time learning about myself and who and what and how I would do what I do in a leadership position. And part of what we determine our values are and what guides us was interesting because I talked about community being in my one sentence bio. And part of what builds a community are people. Mm. Can't forget the people. Part of one of my first real jobs is what I would consider it, where I had to work with, you know, our entire hospital team. So I come from health and human services background, and that was one of my first leadership positions. And what we learned along the way is that we can be up top trying to tell people how to do their job and do it efficiently and do it effectively and safely, because in healthcare, it's all about safety. And service is also an element there. But you cannot forget who is actually trying to accomplish the policy right or the new function that you put in place. It's the people. It's everybody from the person who sweeps the floor at the front entrance and cleans that bed rail that potentially could, you know, give someone an infection or extend their hospital stay. You know, you can't forget the little bitty nitty gritty things all the way down to how we approach our fellow teammates. Mm. And it just all comes back to the people. People are the most important driving force behind how we lead an effective team, in my opinion. So that value, again, is just realizing where the value is. Mm. It's in the people that drive what you're trying to accomplish, right?
So you had mentioned how important people are, and that directly ties to your one sentence bio of community. So I know that you're the director of tourism for the city of Springfield.
Correct.
So how do you in your day-to-day work make sure that community is present as you're talking to all the people that you interact with?
Exactly. So part of what I'm, because I've gone through a drastic shift and oh boy, here I go with my storytelling. But so I started out in health and human services. Well, actually, I started out managing a roofing company, about 40 roofers, and learned a lot about myself. I can remember numbers like nobody's business. I could probably still tell you someone's birth date, social security number, and address. It's terrifying. So I've gone through a lot of shifts. So I managed a roofing company. I worked in health and human services from the bedside, providing patient care. I'm not a nurse, but a nurse's aide and telemetry, and worked my way up at the hospital. And part of what I learned through all of my changes and now being in a completely new industry is that growth and change are inevitable. Growth and change are something that I enjoy. And when you learn how to deal with different types of people and different elements and how they affect each thing you're trying to accomplish, you have to know how to work with them, no matter their skill level, right? No matter if they're a doctorate level educated person to someone who didn't even graduate from high school, and how you can make them effective in whatever you're trying to accomplish. So, you know, I've gone from, you know, a variety of work, you know, different levels of people to now I'm working primarily with the public, serving in the public sector. So I've always been in the private sector, and then recently, it's almost been 2 years, which is kind of crazy, but transitioning into the public sector and working in a completely new industry and working with and through people in a very different way. You know, understanding how we affect our community, you know, tourism is an interesting industry. How you can really affect real change. And this is something I learned when I was coming from the private sector into the public sector, is that in local government, no matter what level you're serving on, you can truly affect real change in your community. If there's, you know, anything I can tell you is that if you want to make change in your community, number one, figure out those little microcosms to plug yourself into. How can you be a change leader? How can you affect change within your community? And you can do that pretty effectively by learning how you can serve through your local government. And it's been a pleasure. It's been a tough transition. I won't lie or make it light, because when you come from the private sector, things are done much differently. But when you enter into the public sector and you realize what you're doing truly affects the livelihood of your community, even in just one department or another, it's really almost an exciting time to say, hey, look, I've kind of found where I'm going to blossom into this opportunity to serve in a different way, because I've always worked through people in one specific way. You know, like for healthcare, I was you know, patient safety was really important, and how they serve our community, that community. And now it's on a little bit of a broader spectrum, and it's just really exciting. And when I think about broader spectrum, and I kind of, you know, raise my hand up, something I've learned along the way as I've worked through leadership positions and learning how to work through people is that sometimes we get caught as a leader of a department, of people, of a community even. We get caught kind of looking straight in front of ourselves or around in this 360-degree circle. And what we forget is that we have to take the time to go to the 30,000 feet up and evaluate, how does this one thing that we're doing touch and tentacle to the overall arching mission of whatever we're trying to accomplish? And what keeps happening is you keep seeing, oh, people, right? This person connects here, and that department connects there, and how we can create change agents within each of those little microcosms. I keep bringing that word up, but it's just such an effective way to describe how we can work through people. And again, that just keeps coming back. People, community, working through them, working with them, learning how to grow them, right? Because not one person creates change in a community, right? There's not one person. You learn how to effectively utilize those small leaders within your community and empower them to accomplish what, again, the overall arching mission is that you're trying to accomplish. And if it's growing a great community, you can't forget the people.
That's right. It's all about the people.
All about the people. Yeah.
Ready for question number two?
Can't wait.
Who or what has had the most impact on your management style?
So when I'm going to go back to my healthcare days, because that's where I really grew as a leader. I saw, you know, people pushing me. And I will never forget when I transitioned into a new leadership role and I sat down with my new direct report, which is our chief nursing officer. And she looked across the table at me and she said, I know we've been working alongside each other for a long time. Now that we're working directly together, she said, I have to tell you one thing. If it's you or me, it's you.
Wow.
And that felt really harsh at first. But what I realized when she fleshed that out is that her leadership style was very much I will continue to push you and grow you and change you. I will continue to develop you. But if you choose to leave or if you choose to go, that's your choice. Mm-hmm. And so I know that, again, and I'll complete my train of thought here in a second, because, again, it still feels pretty harsh. But it made me realize that what I needed to do was invest in how much I believed in the organization and what I was trying to do to develop the mission. And again, there was a lot more conversation associated with that. But it was a good reminder that as a leader who's leading, you have to remind that I'm not the one keeping you here. You're the one keeping yourself here. And how do you continue to grow yourself from within? So that's it's a weird way to go about saying that as we look at ourselves as our own leaders, it's really important that we understand who's going to continue to push us, who can force you to grow. It's kind of like coal. Coal became a diamond, right? With pressure. And pressure is valuable for a person like me who has really bad undiagnosed ADHD. But lots of pressure can create beautiful things. It pushes out qualities and it pushes out styles within ourselves that we didn't necessarily know were there. So,
you know, those moments, those like core memory moments in your business life truly are treasures. Like you they get are. Few of those when somebody will be that direct to you and say, I just want you to know if it's me or you, it's you.
And they
give you the opportunity to really think, okay, why am I here?
Exactly.
What am I doing? And I have always appreciated those moments because first off, it probably gave me a wake up, you know, the wake up that I needed to think, okay, this is an opportunity for me to reevaluate. Am I in or out?
Am I in or out? Yeah.
And
the organization, the way it was structured, so it was a standalone, not for profit healthcare organization. So it was a nonprofit community hospital, and we were governed by a board. Mm. And so a lot of how you push your individual leaders is incredibly important because, again, it's like, why are you here? Mm. Why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
You want to be here to serve? You want to be here to really do a great job? You have to, you know, learn what that fire is within your own self to push yourself. So that was one of my core. Of course, there's been so many, but that was one of the most impactful because as a new leader, I didn't know how to respond to that.
Sure.
But it was a great conversation that really, and honestly, some true growth that happened out of that moment. So
that's good. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
Before we get to the next question, let's pause for a quick message. Are you ready to become the leader you've always wanted to be? Then join us for 24/7 Leadership's Power Talk series. Leaders never rest. They lead all the time, 24/7. In this dynamic training, you'll master the essential communication and thinking skills to showing up as a leader you envision every single day. Learn to be fully present with yourself and others, to listen deeply, and to create lasting developmental alliances with your team. Who could benefit from this transformational training, you ask? Well, anyone leading a team, from new managers to seasoned CEOs. Past participants rave about these coaching skills and how they positively impacted both their personal and professional lives. So don't wait. Unleash your leadership potential today with 24/7 Leadership's Power Talk series. Visit our website, 247leadership.org, to learn more and sign up today. 24/7 Leadership is powered by the College of Business. Ready for question number 3?
Absolutely.
What book has made the biggest impact on you?
So Simon Sinek's book, Leaders Eat Last. It goes back to the people. It's realizing that you're not, you know, that there's one chapter, you know, a snowmobile in the desert, right? It's how are you doing what you're doing? And do you have the right tools? And do you have the right people? Do you have an understanding of how you can be successful? And again, take that 30,000 foot view and understand how it all links together. And again, that tentacle approach there. So I really love Simon Sinek.
Every book I've read of his has been just outstanding. And I thought, I need to read this every year.
Every year.
But he writes so much that I don't get a chance to. There's so many good books out there to read.
Yes.
All right. You ready for my favorite part of the podcast?
I have loved the last three, so I can't wait for the next.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
Okay. All right. So it's 60 seconds, rapid fire questions. The goal here is to make me run out of questions. You can say pass on one of them.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I can't wait. Do I get a prize? I'm just kidding.
Sure. Well, we'll give you a prize if you make me run out.
Okay.
Absolutely. Fair. If you had to replace your hands with objects from the kitchen, what would you choose?
Tongs.
What's your zombie apocalypse survival plan?
Go underground.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever found in your pocket?
Oh, pass.
If you could have any superpower, but only for 5 minutes a day, what would it be?
Flying.
Imagine a squirrel taking over the world. What's the first law it would pass?
Nuts, nuts, nuts.
What's your favorite movie?
Oh, Harold and Maude. Controversial, sorry.
What's your favorite color?
Yellow, like the sun.
What was your first job?
Well, it was actually in construction. My family had a construction business, and I managed the office.
What was your favorite subject in school?
Oh, God, English.
What's an app you use every day?
Oh, social media. Ugh, I don't want to name them.
What's a museum you'd love to visit?
Pass.
Oh, you took two passes.
Sorry.
It's okay.
There's so many. It's like, I don't even know if I could pit. Anyway, yeah.
Well, you made me chuckle in one of those, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right. Ace, your job now is to give parting advice to managers. What's the best advice you can give to a manager?
Don't forget who does the work? Mm. The people.
That's
great. Don't forget to invest in them. Don't forget to grow them. Don't forget how important it is to connect with them and ensure that they feel led.
That's good. That's good. Well, Ace, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Management Minute. We hope you enjoyed this week's interview. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. If you have suggestions for future guests, please send me their contact information to donita.brown@lipscomb.edu. You can also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you.
This podcast is powered by the College of Business Content Creation Studio at Lipscomb University.